You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. P-A-I-R.com.
I host another podcast called Love and Abuse that's all about learning how to communicate in a healthy way with someone that might be hurtful toward you. Not everyone knows they're hurtful. Sometimes you have to tell them they're being hurtful, and even then, they may not stop their bad behavior. If they don't stop, you need to arm yourself with specific tools and resources to help you get the message across to them once and for all, or at least know when it's time to end the connection with the person. Head over to loveandabuse.com and empower yourself with what I believe are the most effective tools to get through to the most difficult people. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to The Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hey, this is Paul Coliani, and I want to help you learn the skill set you need to deal with life's challenges in the most emotionally intelligent way. This show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. And of course, always seek a professional for your mental health and well-being. Okay, I'm going to begin the show with something I changed about myself maybe like 15 years ago. And I want to share it with you just in case it's something you need to hear, it's something you need to do, maybe a change in how you treat yourself, and especially change in how others treat you. And that change was telling myself that I am worth more than how I'm being treated right now. So if I were being mistreated at work by a boss who could definitely fire me, if I felt like I was being mistreated to a point where they were treating me as unworthy, or they were disrespecting me, they were devaluing me, not just as an employee, but as a human being. That's what I'm talking about as far as this change is concerned, is how I value myself and how I view myself as a human and how I want to feel about myself. So when people start hurting me in some way or belittling me, insulting me, making me feel like I'm something at the bottom of their shoe, then this philosophy kicks in, and I ask myself, is this how I would treat myself? Is this how I feel about myself? Is this how I view myself? Is this how much I value myself? And so I started doing that more and more, and it really helped me strengthen my personal boundaries. It really helped me understand how to approach the world and show up in the world in a way that I feel like I deserve to be treated. And if you look at yourself and you say, well, it's okay if somebody mistreats me, you, I believe, have to question how worthy you feel inside yourself and how you feel you deserve to be treated by anyone, not just one person, but by anyone. Because I believe what happens is that we end up exposing ourselves to toxic behavior and toxic people, and they will do and say things that are very hurtful to us. They're very insulting, very disrespectful. And we have to ask ourselves, do I, or at least this is my belief, do I love myself enough to stop this person from making me feel less or inferior or, like I said, at the bottom of their shoe, something they're trying to kick off and wipe off on the doormat? Do I feel like that now? Because if I do, then I have to ask myself, do I deserve this behavior? Do I deserve this treatment? And if I tell myself, no, I love myself more than that, then I'm going to do something about it, or walk away, or get out of a situation, get out of a toxic work environment, get out of a toxic relationship, get out of a toxic friendship. Anything that makes me question my own worth, you should seriously consider what you're going to do about it, what you're going to say about it, or if you're going to walk away, or if you're going to accept it. I'm not saying acceptance isn't an option. You can certainly accept someone's bad behavior and just tell yourself, look, it's not about me, it's about them. I've done this. It's not about me, it's about them. The bad words they're saying about me or how they're treating me isn't about my worth. It isn't about how lovable I am, how worthy I am, how important in this world I am. You know, if I feel important, if I feel like I am a benefit to someone else's life, it's not about that at all. It's about them. And if I can be okay that their perceptions are skewed by whatever's going on inside of them, if they have a lot of critical thoughts or judgments or hatred, then that's inside them and not about me. It's hard to do. It's very hard to do to say, oh, what they're saying is not about me, even though they're saying, hey, Paul, you're a big jerk and your show sucks and everything you do is harmful to the environment and to people and everything you do, you're just a big loser. It's hard not to hear that in any other way than it was intended. They wanted to hurt me, and they probably will. They'll probably hurt me. You would hurt me if you said something like that, because I do put my heart out there. My emotional armor is usually down. I'm not usually protecting my heart, because I prefer to be in a world where I can experience tons of happiness and bliss. At the same time, I know that comes along with tons of sadness and pain. I want to experience the full spectrum. And what I mean by that is, when you put your emotional armor on, what ends up happening is that you don't get to experience the full spectrum of the emotional experience that we could have as people. If you want to experience bliss and excitement and pure joy, you have to have your emotional wall down, or at least somewhat. You know, sometimes we can build emotional walls up to avoid the negativity from others, but I found very few people, if any, that can hear some negative commentary from someone and not be affected by it. So even though we have these emotional walls, they tend to help us or cause us to repress the negativity that we're experiencing. So we can be this tough person on the outside, but when someone puts us down or insult us or emotionally injures us in some way, that negativity can be repressed and go inside of us, and it can eat away at us and cause us to feel hurt and get angry and hurt others because we're holding on to it. And this is where our perceptions can be skewed. We can start having a mistrust for the world. I mean, that could go in a whole another direction where you're holding on to negativity. What's your perception of the world after that? So that's coming back to the emotional armor part. I don't like to wear my emotional armor around because it closes me off. I won't be able to connect as much. I won't be able to love people like I want and be in love with the person I'm with or feel intimacy in a way that is really emotionally connected. I want deep emotional intimacy along with physical intimacy. And I think they're all connected. Well, I know they're all connected. when I was in a moderate state of depression back in 2006 through 2008 or something, it got so bad. I had no emotional connection whatsoever that I had no physical sensation. You know what I'm talking about, the intimacy part. I could not be intimate with the people I was connecting with. I actually became so depressed that my emotional state disappeared. Or I shouldn't say it that way. There were emotions, but they were so dull and numb. And that absolutely affected my physical state so much that I could not do what I wanted to do. And, you know, of course, I wasn't feeling great either. I didn't want to do anything. Not only couldn't I do it, but I didn't want to do it. So with intimacy, this is all tied in. It's the holistic system of our body, our mind and body, all tied together. If you're a man and you are having erectile dysfunction, check out your emotions. Do you have an emotional wall up so high that nobody can get past it or see over it? It could be part of it. I don't know, but I'm just putting that out there because it could be helpful to someone listening now. Because after I started healing and reconnecting with myself and admitting some of the stuff that I didn't want to admit, like the negativity I felt and the hatred I felt toward certain individuals in my life, I started expressing this, believing that it wasn't okay before to be expressive like that. But then I believed it was okay to express that because it was inside of me. And as soon as I started expressing it and releasing it, you know, processing it and getting through it and actually letting it go, then what I ended up doing was pulling away the barriers between my physical and my emotional self. It was like there were obstacles in the way for me to be able to be my whole self, my entire holistic self. And when I started expressing what was being repressed and letting that stuff out in tears and screaming and crying, all of that stuff started to come out. I started to feel better inside. I started to feel my body again. I started to want to feel again. Because I was depressed, I didn't want to feel. I just wanted to be miserable. That's what it felt like. And I didn't even really want to be miserable. Nobody wants to be miserable, but I didn't think it would be possible to be happy. I didn't feel it. I didn't have any good feelings. So I just wallowed in that misery until I forget what happened. Oh yeah, the woman that would become my wife, she was ready to leave me. She said, you know, you've got stuff going on. You need to work on that stuff and then call me when you're healed. And that just shocked my system. And I said, whoa, what's going on? And I started crying because I realized, oh my God, I'm experiencing some huge, painful thing right now. What's going on? And when I started crying, all this other stuff came up too, all the repressed stuff. I've told this story many times. That's why I'm not getting into it too much. But I did want to give you the meat of what I'm talking about in this very moment, which is letting go of that negativity that you're holding on to can open your system up. It can free the pathways between systems inside your body. And not just a sexual pathway. Any pathway that you feel blocked. Sometimes we're very foggy. You know, we have a lot of brain fog. And so I look at that as, okay, what's going on inside of me? What am I holding back? What am I holding on to? Who am I angry at? What am I angry about? And I think of anything negative that I might be holding back or holding on to. And then I realize, okay, I need to express this. I need to deal with it. For me, the biggest thing was always, it's bad to hate. Bad to hate people. You shouldn't hate, because that means you're carrying around hatred in your heart. And if you're the type of person that holds on to hatred and hates others, then you're a bad person. And I just decided to say, F it. I'm not going to think that's a bad thing anymore. Because all I was doing was repressing my hate, was pushing it down. Oh, I can't hate, so I'm just going to push that back down. Wait a minute. When you push hate back down, it's still inside you. So I decided one day, I'm going to make it okay to hate. That doesn't mean I'm a hater now. I just said I'm holding on to this hate inside of me, and I'm going to free it. I'm going to say it. I hate, and for me it was my stepfather. I hate my stepfather. And when that came out, I suddenly felt free, and I suddenly had no more hate. I mean, toward anyone. And I'm not talking about hate groups and hate crimes and, you know, things to do with race or anything like that. That's a different kind of hate. That's a hate that you carry around consciously, hating people. I'm talking about repressed hate. Like, you don't want to hate this particular person. It's usually a particular person, not a whole group of people, but that can happen too. But it's usually a particular person. Who in your life have you hated and not wanted to admit it? Now, don't get me wrong. You may not hate anyone. I'm not saying everyone has hate in their heart or they're holding on to it or repressing it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that sometimes we carry around negativity that we're not willing to admit, or we don't feel like saying it or expressing it is very healthy or honorable of us or kind of us. It's not something Jesus or Buddha would do. I'm saying that we can hold on to negativity, and if we don't get it out, it can affect our lives. And so that affects our perception, that affects our relationships, that affects our jobs. And just going back to what I started saying is that I decided about 15 years ago that in order to be treated the way I wanted to be treated and get the results I wanted, which is not a good way to say this, but get the outcomes I wanted in my relationships, meaning I prefer to be respected than disrespected, so the outcome I want is respect. In order to get that, I had to make sure I was respecting myself, and I had to make sure that I was cleaning out my system. I was cleaning out all that gunk that was inside, the repressed negative emotions, the unhealed traumas, anything I had to deal with. Because if that was still in there, then there might be a part of me, or I might actually look at myself in a not so appealing way. I might actually think of myself as less than I really am. Because if I'm holding on to hate, I must not be as good of a human being as I hoped I would be. That's my thought back then. I wouldn't be a good human being if I held on to negative thoughts about someone else. So I'm going to stuff that down. But what ends up happening is that you end up getting treated in a way that you perceive yourself as. And I'm not saying this happens 100% of the time. I'm saying the chances are greater that you will get treated not as kindly or respectfully or as worthy as you deserve, because you might be holding on to something that you don't feel so good about in yourself. And it could be anything. It could be anything that you've run across in your years of life on this planet. Anyone could have said anything to you or about you that you took personally, or they meant it personally, they meant to hurt you, but you don't know how to process it, you don't know how to release it, you don't know how to deal with it, and so it stays in there. And I'm saying if it stays in there, it affects everything. What you're carrying around inside you affects your life. So when you're in a conversation with someone and they put a little dig in there about you, or they put you down in a small way and you sense it and you feel it, you might say something about it. Like, hey, that wasn't very nice. Why would you say that? Are you trying to make me feel bad? And what are they going to say? You've caught them. And they may probably just say, oh, no, I didn't mean that at all. You're just taking it wrong. You're too sensitive. That's probably one of the worst things you can tell someone. You're too sensitive. That's like saying, let me get away with triggering you. Let me get away with this behavior so that I can feel good about myself and I don't have to consider your thoughts or feelings. That's how I feel about the you're too sensitive game, which on loveandabuse.com, you'll actually find an episode called The You're Too Sensitive Game. Because when people don't consider your sensitivities and they keep doing what they know either you're sensitive to or what hurts you, and they continue to use the excuse, well, you're just too sensitive, then they're not being very nice. They are being disrespectful. They are treating you as less than you're worth. And that's why it's important to have a really good foundation inside of you of worthiness, of deserving of respect, of knowing that you are important, that you are valuable in this world, and you mean something. That is how you perceive yourself. And when you do, you don't take some of the crap that people throw at you. And I'm not saying this is an easy journey, because as soon as you don't take someone's crap, you end up on their, crap list. You end up not being able to satisfy their need to overpower you, to control you, to make you feel bad so that they feel good, to feed their ego because they have narcissistic tendencies, or they just want to put you down for whatever reason. Whatever. But when you feel good about yourself and know what you deserve, then you are less likely to tolerate the bad behavior of others. And when you either call them out or just say, hey, would you please not say that again? That's very disrespectful, and I don't appreciate it. And the person who cares about you, they're going to say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Didn't mean to do that. It'll never happen again. Someone who cares about you is going to say something like that. Someone who doesn't care about you, or maybe just doesn't think it's hurtful, is going to say, you're too sensitive. I try, and you're just too sensitive. There's nothing I can do. You know, you're just going to have to deal with that. That's not very nice. And you can even say, that's not very nice. I just told you something that you say hurts me. And I just asked you kindly if you would stop. And if you're saying to me that you won't stop because you believe it's my problem if I have a problem with it, then that's okay. This is my advice. I would say that's okay. I'm just going to leave you be, and I'm going to not connect with you anymore. I'm not going to be with you anymore. I'm not going to be around you anymore, because you know you're hurting me and you still do it. That may not be exactly what you say. I mean, in fact, use your own words, because I don't think I said that very well. But this is where I go with it. If somebody is hurting me, belittling me, disrespecting me, I'm going to ask myself, do I deserve this? Sometimes you might deserve it. Like, I mean, at work, if you are being chastised because you really messed up on something, and your boss says, you know, or your supervisor, whoever, says, this is a real problem. What you did just cost us $100,000. You might have to think about that and go, you're right. I did. You are absolutely right about me. Instead of going into a place of, well, I don't deserve to be treated like this, you might have to at least check in and ask yourself, okay, does this person have a point? The problem we might run into is if you already have low self-worth and self-esteem, you're probably going to say, yes, that person has a point. And I don't want you to do that. Because this is just something factual. What I'm talking about now, there's a factual piece of information on the table. You messed up this report, or you didn't call this person in time, and now we are suffering as a company because of it. That's just a factual work thing. It's only business. And yes, it hurts to hear, and it stinks because you think you could have done a better job, or maybe you do think they're yelling at you for no reason at all. But there are things to consider that might be somewhat justifiable. It doesn't really mean that anyone should ever disrespect you or treat you as less than worth than you are, because I think that some people can be a little bit too harsh. Hey, you know what? You screwed up. You need to make sure this never happens again. I would love to hear that from a boss. Hey, you know what? You screwed up. I hope you never do it again. Please don't do it again, because it costs the company a lot of money. That you can probably handle pretty well. But if they came into your office, or you came into their office, and they said, you are a pathetic life form, why did you do this? Then they're really digging at your spirit, your soul, your humanity. I don't know. They're really getting into your psyche. And when they get into your psyche, That's when it can affect you emotionally and cause a lot of problems. That's why it's important to have a solid foundation so that you can reach inside and ask yourself, do I deserve this? Am I not more worthy than this? Am I not deserving of kindness and respect? And then hopefully you say yes. And if you're not saying yes, you need to work on it, because you are. You are deserving of kindness and respect. You are worthy. You are important. You are a catch. You are wonderful. And I'll tell you something else at the end of the show, but you know what I'm going to say. You deserve to be treated better than some people treat you. And once you know that, and once you instill that inside of you, then you do show up differently in the world. I honestly walk around feeling very confident in myself. Somebody might say, well, that sounds cocky. That sounds like your ego. No, it's not. It's just I feel confident in myself. I know I deserve to be respected just like I know you deserve to be respected. I know I deserve to be treated with kindness. Just like you deserve to be treated with kindness. So I'm no better than you. I just don't want you to think that you're any better than me. That sounds awful, but it's true. I think if we walked around without the thought that someone's better than another person, that we'd probably all get along very well. But it doesn't happen that way. So that's why this show continues. That's why my other show, Love and Abuse, continues. And that's why I come on the air and I talk about this stuff. And that's important. I think this stuff is important because we're going to have to deal with this sometimes on a daily or weekly basis. And how do we deal with it? This is a change in my belief system, in my philosophy, in how to live my life, and how to show up in life when I feel good about myself. If others don't support that good feeling I have in myself, or they want to change those feelings I have about myself, that's when there's a problem. That's when the foundation is starting to crack, and I don't want that foundation to crumble, because that foundation is how I feel about myself. And as soon as they take that away, they can really do some damage in that holistic system of yours. Thanks for joining me. Be right back, and I've got an email I think I'm going to read right after this. In one of the lessons I teach over at healedbeing.com, it's the program I help emotionally abusive people change and stop hurting people they love. And a lot of people are experiencing a lot of positive changes in that program. And one of the comments I made in one of the lessons, which you've probably heard on this show maybe before, or Love and Abuse show, is that it's important that when you have any type of relationship with anyone, the deepest connection you can make is when you allow the deepest part of yourself out. And that's scary to so many people. In fact, if you don't allow the deepest part of you out and you become resistant to anyone finding out about that, you could actually unintentionally hurt someone you care about. And what I mean by that is, let's just say that you have some, we'll talk about hatred, say some hatred towards someone in your family, for example, and you don't want to tell anyone about it, and you think that by sharing that with somebody you care about will make them look down on you. They'll look at you and think, oh, you're a hateful person. I don't want to be with you. So you don't tell the person that you care about and the person you trust. And when you hold on to something that you could share with somebody but you choose not to, and it's affecting you in a negative way, like, I wish I could share this, but I know I can't because I don't want them to look down on me. I don't want them to think I'm a bad person. I don't want them to leave me. If you don't share it, then you might actually be hurtful because you resist sharing it so much, if that makes sense. And what I'm saying is that there were things that I held inside of me that I did not want to share, like my anger. I didn't want to share my anger with somebody I loved. I didn't want them to think I was an angry person, so I held that in. But by holding that in, I was more passive-aggressive. I was doing what I like to call emotional jabbing, like I was jabbing at them in ways that made them feel bad, and I used to be a hurtful person like that. But I held so much of this negativity in that I didn't want it out. I resisted expressing it because I didn't want to be seen as that person. But by doing that, I became hurtful toward the people I cared about because I didn't want that part of me to come out. And the whole time I should have just said, you know what, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm thinking, and let's just put it all on the table and talk about it. But I was too afraid. I was conflict avoidant, too afraid. And as soon as I started doing that more and more, that's what helped me be less hurtful and start realizing what behaviors were hurtful so that I didn't make the people I love feel bad, which is basically how I define emotional abuse, when you make someone else feel bad, or especially make them feel bad about themselves. It's all about causing them to focus on themselves so they don't have to focus on you and all your deep, dark secrets that you don't want to share or tell them. I mean, it's much more than that. But that's one of the lessons I teach over at healedbeing.com. If you are in a situation where you feel like you're holding back a lot and you're being hurtful to the people that you care about, maybe that's a program for you, maybe not. But sign up for the free trial and see if the first few lessons are right for you. Healedbeing.com. Welcome back. I am going to read you an email that's very relevant to what we just talked about. I'm just going to get right into it here. This person wrote, "Yes, I struggle with low self-esteem and very low self-worth." They were replying to an email that I sent them. "Anything that isn't perfect is a failure for me, even if I don't have control over it. So I mentally beat myself up over my unrealistic expectations. I grew up thinking nothing I did was ever good enough. I blame myself for the house not being clean enough, or the debt not being paid down fast enough, or the kids not being well behaved enough with straight A's, and the food I cook is not spectacularly delicious, etc. My child got into an abusive relationship and I blame myself for it, and they ended up getting themselves out of it. My husband hasn't conveyed anything that could be construed as blaming me, but I twist his words to fit my beliefs. I end up defensive. That's why I believe that I am my own abuser." And that's what we were talking about when we went back and forth. "I almost feel like two people, one that's trying to build myself up and knows that I am awesome, and the other that's tearing me down. It's exhausting. I'm on medication and in therapy, but I have close to 50 years of this to work through." Thank you for sharing that. And the initial conversation that we had was, she wrote to me and said, "I'm my own abuser." And I said, "What does that mean?" I asked her that. What does that mean? And that's what she wrote back. And very relevant for today's episode. Self-esteem, self-worth, and anything that isn't perfect is a failure. Let's talk about that. What is perfection? What is it to you? What does it look like? I think that's a first good question, and I've got some tougher ones. That's the easy first question. Before I get into the tougher questions, though, you said you have 50 years of this to work through. I want you to just eradicate that number out of your brain. Get rid of it, because today is a day. 50 years is too damn overwhelming to think about. So let's just look at today. Let's just think about today. What is happening today? What have you thought today? Let's address what you think today. You could think something else tomorrow, and you could have thought something else yesterday, but let's look at what happened today or what is happening now. For example, one of the things that you said is, "I blame myself for the house not being clean enough." My question to that is, compared to what? Compared to yesterday, the way the house was? Compared to your parents' house, the way that was? Compared to the lifestyles of the rich and famous houses that you see on TV? Compared to what? I need you to start asking yourself that question, because we throw ourselves for a loop. Is that the right term? We put ourselves in a tizzy because we think we are not X enough. Replace X with whatever it is. I am not good enough. The question is always, compared to what? Compared to who? This is a good question. You need to answer that question too. It has to be answered. Because if you don't answer what you're comparing to, then you will never be enough. You will never be good enough if you don't define what good enough is. And enough means there's an amount of good that you have to accomplish in order to feel good or identify yourself as good. But when you add the word enough at the end, you totally, how can I say this politely, screw yourself. You mess yourself up because you will never be good enough because enough is never defined. So you have to define enough. And I define enough by saying compared to what, or asking the question, compared to what? I am not good enough. Compared to what? Well, my father said I wasn't good enough, or I don't feel good enough. Compared to what? Well, compared to that person who's living the lifestyle that I want to live. Okay, what specifically are they doing that you're not? Well, they seem so happy and their house is always clean. Okay, so that might be what you think. You may be comparing yourself to another person. And when you compare yourself to another person, you never win. Because other people are always different. And if you already have low self-esteem and low self-worth, other people will always be better than you. That's your perception. I don't feel very good about myself. Other people will always look better than me. They'll have more than me. They'll be more attractive. They'll have better relationships. Whenever you feel down or bad about yourself, other people always look better. They always look great. And so that continues the self-sabotaging process or the self-perpetuating cycle of almost loathing yourself. I'm no good. I suck at everything. And I swear, I'm not putting you down for that. I'm just highlighting something that is so important that if you understand it, you can get past this. And it won't be 50 years of stuff. It'll be today. What have you done today? What have you said about yourself today? She says, I twist my husband's words so that they fit my belief. He hasn't said anything that could be construed as blaming me, but I twist it to fit my belief. So it sounds like you blame yourself for something. Like you said, the house isn't clean enough, the kids aren't well behaved with straight A's, and perfection, that word perfection comes up. I definitely recommend you go to theoverwhelmedbrain.com, look up the word perfection, and you'll see how I view perfection and how it can basically destroy any sense of self-worth and self-esteem because you're striving for something that you will never have, ever. In fact, I encourage you to embrace what I embrace, which is I am not perfect, I make a lot of mistakes, and that's just the way it is, and you'll have to deal with it. I encourage you to embrace that. I encourage you to embrace your mistakes in the sense that you own them. Hey, I didn't clean the house today and I left the socks on the floor and I'll get to it tomorrow. Imagine doing that on purpose. Then after imagining it, do it on purpose. One of the ways I got over my perfectionism was starting to leave things in a disheveled array that caused me to have to accept what was happening. Meaning, I left the dishes out instead of cleaning them one day. I do most of the dishes in our house. So I will leave some dishes out, knowing that perfection meant that all the dishes are clean. Acceptance of imperfection means that I'll leave some out. This is just a tiny little practical step that you can take to allow yourself to be imperfect. I don't want you to be perfect. If you strive for perfection, you'll always be unhappy. I don't even think that this is new advice to anyone. I think that you just need to hear it. if you are dealing with perfection, or this person who wrote, who is dealing with the idea that they need to be perfect, I don't want you to be perfect. Am I the authority on perfection? No, but I'm just telling you, I don't want you to be perfect. If you are perfect, I will actually be annoyed by you. If you strive for perfection, I will be annoyed by you. Now, is that true? No, I'm not going to be annoyed by you, but others will. I'll be accepting and loving and unconditionally respectful to you, but others will be annoyed by you, because what'll happen, and this has happened in my house, actually, I'll put in a plate in the dishwasher, and my girlfriend will come along and take that plate out and put it somewhere else. And I'll do that multiple times, and she will do that multiple times, and sometimes the plates end up chipped, and I don't intend to chip them, and in fact, I think what I'm doing, I'm being very careful, and she has often shown me how to put the plates or the dishes or the cups or the whatever into the dishwasher, and so she has actually fought with her perfectionism with me in her life, and it's been very difficult for her, but I have watched her realize that if the dishes are to get done, they have to be done imperfectly by me, because she doesn't want to do them. So that's what happens. And she has become more comfortable allowing that. And this is something I'm kind of passing on to you if you haven't done it yet. The things that you do, the effort that you take to create perfectionism or strive for it, is basically under your control, you know, because perfectionism is something that if you are perfect, then you will feel good about yourself. I mean, this is one angle of it. You'll feel good about yourself, and you'll feel like you have controlled something in your life, because letting go of perfectionism is like letting go of control. And when you let go of control, what's going to happen? That's a real question. I don't mean to be sarcastic. I mean, what will happen if you let go of control? What will happen if you leave that dust on the floor or on the TV? What will happen? You might say, I'll see it, and it'll drive me crazy. What would happen if you left it for a week? Oh my God, I can't leave that for a week. This is something I want you to try doing. Introduce these small imperfections into your life, so that you are reinforcing the results, which aren't terrible. What I mean by that, you leave some dust somewhere on the TV. Let's just say that you love cleaning and you hate seeing dust. Leave it on there for a week and then clean it, knowing that, hey, I'm going to clean that on Tuesday. That's the dust day. I'm going to clean that on Tuesday. This is just a small thing. And when you do that, what's going to happen is you're going to realize that at a deeper level, you're reinforcing that you're going to survive this, because there could be some low-level, deep-level stuff going on inside of you that makes you feel like if you don't do it, something bad will happen. And that's why it's important to introduce this other question: what will happen if I don't? What will happen if my child gets a B? If you say, it'll freak me out, that's not an answer. If you say, if my child gets a B, I'll feel judged by my dad, by other parents, by my husband, that's closer to an answer, but we have to drill even deeper. What will happen if you do get judged? If I get judged, you got to answer that. If I get judged, then I'll feel like a bad parent. This is where we drill down. If you've listened to my show for a while, you've heard me talk about the drill down process. You just keep drilling down into the issue until you just can't go any further. What would happen if you look like a bad parent? How is that a bad thing? Let's drill into that. Well, if I'm a bad parent, then people won't like me. What will happen if people won't like you? How is that a bad thing? Well, if people don't like me, then I won't feel like I'm accepted. I won't feel like I'm worth anything. now we might tap into your worth and your esteem issues. And we're going to find out what's driving these behaviors by drilling into each one of them. For example, I haven't paid my debt down fast enough. Okay, what will happen if you don't? Well, I'll stay in debt. Okay, what will happen if you stay in debt? Well, if I stay in debt, another question might be, how will you feel about that? Well, I won't like it. I want to pay that down because I don't want to be in debt. Why not? You keep questioning every single angle, every single aspect until you just can't go any further. Because the way you wrote this message to me, the person who wrote, the way you wrote this message to me was very open-ended, comparing things to nothing, meaning I'll never be enough, I'll never have the house clean enough, I'll never be paid down fast enough, the kids will never be behaved enough, the food is never good enough. All of this is just sort of an open-ended, open loop that you will never, you can go another 50 years, you will never get out of it until you define enough, until you define perfection. And you have to define it. If you don't define it, you end up stuck in this state. So you said you're on medication, you're in therapy, and you have a lot to work through. I'm not saying this is a replacement for any of that. Continue doing what you feel you need to do to get through this. You also say this is exhausting. It doesn't have to be, and I hope it isn't exhausting if you, A, deal with this at a one-day level instead of a 50-year level. Don't worry about what happened in the last 50 years. Worry about today, what's happening today. And I'm not really saying I want you to worry. I'm just saying, let's just deal with what happened today. Just name one thing that happened today and drill into that and ask yourself, what does perfection look like in that respect? Because if you don't define perfection, you will never, ever get out of this self-perpetuating, self-sabotaging cycle. Not even self-sabotage, it's a self-devaluing cycle. You are devaluing yourself. And you're not doing it on purpose. I'm certainly not saying that you're doing this on purpose. I know you're not. You just haven't found a way out of this rut that you are continuing to walk around and you need a way out. So I'm giving you a way. I hope I'm giving you a way out, at least a start, so that you can start to feel better being imperfect. You said that anything that isn't perfect is a failure for me. That is so highly interpretable. Anything that isn't perfect, because if you haven't defined perfect, then everything's a failure. Just take out that first part of that sentence. Everything is a failure for me. Define perfect, define failure. You are leaving so many things undefined. And maybe you have some of this defined. And here's my last point on this is you want to make sure that when you are doing all the inner dialogue that happens, you know what I mean, the self-talk, oh man, I'm so stupid. Oh, I can't believe I did that. Oh, I'm not done yet. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I haven't done enough. When all that inner dialogue is happening, I want you to ask yourself, whose voice is that in? Whose voice is that in? If you say, it's my voice, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to say, that is definitely not your voice. You weren't born with inner dialogue like that. Somebody put it there. And when you figure out, which you probably already know, when you figure out who put it there, that is the first step in getting beyond it. Because often the voice in our head that is putting us down for not being good enough, for not being perfect, for not doing things right, often it is someone who isn't even in our life anymore. Or if they are, they're at a very limited level. It often happens with parents. It could be an authority figure in your life, a caretaker in your life, a sibling, but it's often one of our parents or both of our parents. And so this is another angle you can think about it as. If you can identify the voice, you can ask yourself this question, which is, what will that person do to me if I'm not perfect here? when we have this perfectionism syndrome, we walk around in life trying to please people that are impossible to please, and we think that if we please them, things will get better. But I'm here to say 99 out of 100 times, even if you please the person or people that you are trying to please at a subconscious level sometimes, it's still not enough. And this is why we get stuck in the not enough cycle. We get stuck in the not enough cycle because the person we're trying to please at the deeper subconscious level or from the past, they're never happy. They're never happy. So there's no point in trying to please them. What's the point of trying to please somebody that's never happy? And if you can't please them, then what you're doing is completely futile. It is pointless. I am trying to clean this carpet so it's absolutely perfect. And finally, let me just share this one last thing. Ask yourself, what will I get if this thing or X is perfect? What will I get if this is perfect? What will I get if this is enough? And you do have to define enough before, but you can use this as well. What will I get if I have done enough? What will I get? Because if you don't even have a reward system inside you where you're trying to figure out what reward you get or what prize you get for being X enough, good enough, smart enough, a good enough parent, a good bill payer, whatever. If you don't know the reward, if you don't know the prize, then again, it's an undefined journey that keeps you walking in circles. And that's the last place I want you to be. So I hope that you get something from this, because I definitely don't want you to abuse yourself. That is a terrible feeling and you don't deserve it. You are lovable. You are worthy. How do I know that? How does Paul know that I'm lovable and worthy? Some people have asked me. How do you know that I'm lovable? How do you know that I'm worthy? I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Anyone that wants to improve themselves, anyone that wants to show up in the world as an improved version, an evolved version of themselves, is absolutely worthy. Because who are the kind of people that you want to be around the most? They're the ones that are working on themselves. They're the ones that don't want to show up in a toxic way. They're trying to show up as the best version of themselves. And the biggest part of this journey is that there's always more to do. But as you accomplish one thing after another, it gets a little easier. The big stuff, you know, once you get the big stuff out of the way, like one of the big things that I got out of the way that I talked about in the last segment was personal boundaries. And once I was able to achieve honoring myself and enforcing my personal boundaries, a lot of the next steps were easier. And so sometimes we have to achieve something big. And this is something that the person who wrote, I want you to think about as well. What do you have trouble doing for yourself that if you were to accomplish it, might make your life a little bit easier? Maybe easy is not the word. Maybe might make you feel a little bit more confident inside yourself if you were to do it. Because if you learn what that is and you're able to achieve that, then suddenly all this other stuff doesn't really come into play. And I'll give you a quick example. One day I decided that I didn't care if people found stuff out about me. I didn't care if they found something terrible out about me. I just chose not to care. I said, okay, if somebody finds out something about me that I wanted to hide, I decided that I wouldn't care anymore. And so what that did was cause me not to hide from them or myself anymore and be able to show up with confidence in myself. So when I come on the air and say, yeah, I was disrespectful to people I loved in the past. I hurt people I love in the past because I was a jerk. I mean, I say it now nonchalantly, but believe me, I feel really bad. I feel really bad about that. I wish I'd never done that. But I'm not going to hide it. That's who I was. And I'm okay sharing that with you because I know who I am today. And I will never be that person I was ever again. because I don't like that part of me anymore, or at least I don't like the way I showed up. And I really appreciate and respect and love the way I show up today because it feels free to be myself. And so I hope you got something from this. Thank you so much for sharing all this. I hope that you are able to get through this and define what you need to define so that you know what you're comparing to and start chipping away at this by choosing to find out what happens when you're imperfect. Now, if you tell me, let me just say this, if you tell me my husband hurts me when I'm imperfect, that's an entirely different situation. That is entirely different. If you are getting punished for this, well, of course, that's going to reinforce you wanting to be perfect. From what you wrote here, that doesn't sound like it's happening. So this does sound like, if you want to call it self-abuse, self-flagellation, I do hope that you're able to get past this. And if you don't believe anyone else that tells you, you're good enough and you're smart enough. I don't know if you remember that skit a long time ago from Saturday Night Live. You're good enough and you're smart enough. And doggone it, people like you. If you don't believe that in yourself, believe me. You're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you. And I like you, and I want to thank you for writing this, because when I say that you are good enough and you are smart enough, I don't have to define what good enough and smart enough mean, because the word good and the word smart say it all. I appreciate you. Thanks for writing, and thanks for joining me for another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain, and we'll be right back with my final thoughts right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank our financial backers today: Daisy, Stephen, Donald, Monica, Brad, Nathan, Jessica, Crystal, Jamie. These are the patrons of the week. I love seeing the names every week, and I thank them on the air because I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you, patrons, for supporting the show the way you do. And they found value in the show, and they've decided they want to give back. And if that's you, you find value in the show and you want to give back, head over to moretob.com, and there are options to do that. And if you join the patron program, you get some goodies over there as well. moretob.com. And for a show on how to deal with difficult relationships, visit loveandabuse.com. You heard me talk about it earlier. It is a, I don't know how to say this, unfortunately, very popular show because there's a lot of difficult relationships. I'm glad it's popular in one way, but it's disheartening in another, that there are so many difficult relationships out there. Loveandabuse.com, I talk about all kinds of stuff over there. And if you are the difficult one in the relationship, I'm not talking about the perfectionist, but who knows, could be you too, don't know. Head over to healedbeing.com. That's where I help emotionally abusive people change that behavior and start becoming respectful and kind and understanding where their behavior comes from. And when they understand it and they can heal from it, they show up as completely different people. Lots of success stories over there, over at healedbeing.com. And finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And my final word has to do with perfectionism, actually. I remember I started skateboarding when I was 16, and I did that for like 10 years, and I loved it. I loved skateboarding. It felt free, and I got to challenge myself trying different tricks, and I was just all into it. But I only liked to skate with, you know, one or two people, sometimes as long as they're friends, sometimes more, but never with strangers, never around strangers. I hated being, not watched, but I think I felt judged. Like if I messed up in front of somebody, I would feel like they looked down on me. And so as a young skateboarder kid, I was always trying to be perfect around other people except skateboarders, because skateboarders, other skateboarders, understood, hey, you fell down, that's what I do too. They understand. But as a kid, I'm looking at other people thinking, wow, he just fell down, he's terrible. I actually protected my own worth You know, I'm looking at this and how I used to be and thinking, this is how I was. I wanted to skate alone or with very few people. I often skated at night. People can't see you at night. I didn't want to be around people if I messed up. And I didn't feel like I was ever good enough to skate in front of other people. And there's also the stigma. Like, if you are a skateboarder, then you are a punk or you are a thug or whatever. Or you're vandalizing or something. So some people will look down on skateboarders like that. And there are some skateboarders that are those things. But most of the people that I hung out with were just friendly and they had fun. They had a lot of fun together. But my point is, I decided that I didn't want to skate in public. I didn't want to skate in front of people because I wanted to hide a part of me that was not perfect. If I was really good at skateboarding, then I would skate in front of other people. But I never really achieved a level of skateboarding that I felt comfortable skating in front of other people. Even people that didn't know how to skate, and all I had to do was one trick to impress them. So I spent, you know, the 10 years of being a teenager and in my 20s trying to be perfect in my own little world. And the only way I could do that is avoid being in the public eye. But I now realize that that was my own perfectionism. I felt like I had to be perfect in their eyes. I also think there was a part of me that said skateboarding is for kids. And adults seeing a 25-year-old on a skateboard might think, wow, don't you want to grow up someday? And I felt that too. So I felt like people would look at me as if I had the maturity level of a child. And so I really hid from the public view. And I only realize that now after, you know, I'm 52 now. And I realize, had I not hidden myself from the world, I probably would have enjoyed life a lot more. And had I allowed people to see my imperfections and see me fall and see me fail, I think I just would have been happier. But I bet if I asked myself these questions, what if they saw me fail? What if they saw me fall? What if they thought I was a child in an adult body or whatever? What if they believed all of that stuff? How is that a problem? Another question might be, who cares? Who cares what they think? I'm me, you're you, they are them. Who cares? I'm not going to follow you around and make fun of the books you read or the apps you play on your phone or the stuff you look up online. Anybody want to reveal their search history? So I'm just sharing this because I think life opens up when we open up. I think we get used to hiding ourselves from others. And when we do that, we miss a lot of what life offers and we repress ourselves because we think we have to show up in a certain way so we'll be accepted. That leads to a lot of social anxiety for sure. In fact, it took me a long time to admit that I play games. I play games on my phone. You hear me talk about it on the sponsor spots. I play games. I like games. I love engaging my brain and I love the recreation and I love sometimes just sitting there doing nothing or doing something that is completely mindless. And my girlfriend asks me, how do you do that? How do you just sit down and not think that you have to work all the time? And I said, I need balance. I need balance in my life. If I do too much of one thing and not enough of another, I don't have balance. If I sit at my desk for 12 hours and never leave, I won't have balance. I'll feel overloaded and I won't want to do it anymore. It's like it's the old thing that we hear that somebody was locked up in a closet when they were a kid because they were caught smoking and they were told to smoke the whole pack. Smoke the whole pack in 5 minutes. You better do it. And then they did, and they never wanted a cigarette again. And I'm not suggesting this. I'm not telling you to do this, but I've heard stories. In fact, someone I know said, my dad made me smoke the whole pack, and I never wanted a cigarette again because I just was overloaded. And I thought that's a great way to look at regulating things in your life and balancing your life out. don't do too much of one thing because you'll get burnt out on it. And so that's why I appreciate playing my guitar, creating this podcast, writing a blog article, writing a lesson for my program, playing a game, sitting outside in nature, talking to my girlfriend, being with my girlfriend, and doing all kinds of other things. And now I'm actually in New Hampshire on vacation recording this, so I'm trying to get the balance there as well. And I know it's not easy. Sometimes we don't have the resources to get the kind of balance that we need, but there are always options. Like I used to do when I was poor, when I was broke, I would at least take a few minutes in the bathroom to myself. That may sound a little weird, but sometimes you have no other choice. Sometimes you have to take the breaks where you can find them. So I don't know if this extra segment at the end has been helpful, but I wanted to share that with you. And I also wanted to make sure that you knew that it's important to keep an open mind, because that's how you step into your power so that you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And this is something I really wanted to say to you the entire episode, and it's something I absolutely know to be true about you. You are amazing.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.